Let's open with some scripture and some prayer. I will thank the Lord with all my heart. I will tell about your amazing deeds. I will be happy and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to you, O Most High. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are here with us, and we just want to ask for your blessing on this time. Father, may you be pleased in our hearts as we interact with you and with each other throughout this evening. And may this service be your voice into our lives tonight. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Reading scripture this evening is Romans 6, verses 1 to 13. I'm reading from the NIV version, Romans 6, 1 to 13. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized with Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness.
Thanks, Judy. Last week we talked about living in a paradox. And we're building on that this week. Some of you are going, isn't that the passage that we spoke about last week, what Judy was reading? And Judy had the same thought. It's like, did he send me the wrong verses? No. But I want you to remember what we talked about last week in order to build on that this week. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We're set free from sin. And the more grace there is. And Paul says, so should we just sin all the more? Because the more we sin, the more there is grace, right? Isn't that a good thing? And Paul says, you don't get it, do you? You really don't understand grace. You really don't understand the whole thing about not wanting to sin. We're really going to get there in the next chapter, next month. But he says, you really don't get it, do you? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Are you nuts? Of course not. Duh. No. The really fun thing is that Paul starts again with almost the exact same construct as we talked about last week. in this week's message. So I wanted to kind of put us into a little bit of that framework. Let's continue on reading from where Judy left off. We're going to start reading in Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start reading at verse 14. Actually, I'm going to back up a little bit and reread some of what she read, because that will play into what we're talking about today. So we're going to start at verse 12 and carry on reading. Romans 6, starting at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its desires. And do not present your members to sin as instruments to be used for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead. But present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members to God as instruments to be used for righteousness. For sin will have no mastery over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Does that sound familiar? Sound like 6:1? What shall we say then? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Absolutely not. Again, Paul says, are you nuts? Of course not. Let's keep reading. Do you not know that if you present yourselves as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to. And having been freed from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. I am speaking in human terms, because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. So, what benefit did you then reap from those things that you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. But now, freed from sin and enslaved to God, you have your benefit, leading to sanctification, and the end is eternal life. For the payoff of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pause and ask the Lord to be our teacher this evening. Father, thank you so much for your words, and that you want us to sit with you and to hear you and to understand what it is that you want to say. And so I ask that you would open our hearts to hear your voice tonight. Father, may they be words of life, words of hope, words of joy. Thank you for this time. And may it be well spent in the light of all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. You probably don't remember this, and that's okay. I don't expect you to. But do you remember the name of the series, actually, the title that I gave this series as we go through Romans? Do you remember what that title is? You might have more of a chance if you've listened online, because at least then you see it. It's a couple words that I keep bringing up often. And those words are spoken for. We're spoken for. And we talked about that way early on as we saw how, yes, indeed, we are guilty. But the simple fact is that God reaches out to us and says, "Will you be mine? Will you be mine?" Today, we're going to see that not only are we as believers spoken for, but we as humanity, we as individuals across the board are spoken for. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of whose. You belong to somebody. The question is who, not if. We, especially us in the 21st century, we have this whole idea that owning people is anathema. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying slavery is a good thing. But it's so ingrained in us to hate slavery that we lose the benefits of it for our own spiritual lives. And we don't realize that we are slaves. Full stop. We are slaves. It's not a question of if. It's a question of whose. And that's what Paul is talking about today. Not the evils of slavery. The fact of it in the life of every person that's breathing. If you're breathing today, if you have a pulse today, you are a slave today. It's just how it is. But we're going to find out that that's not necessarily a bad thing. And you're going, no. Wait a minute. How can that be possible? You know, let me tell you a little story. I thought of this and I thought, maybe I should share this. Maybe I shouldn't. Anyway, there's a few big, evil, wicked, bad, and nasty things that have been around in our lifetime. And one of those big, evil, wicked, bad, and nasty things was this massive thing called the Soviet Empire. And there was nothing good about the Soviet Empire, right? They were horrible, they were evil, they were wicked, they were, you know what? I lived for 13 and a half years behind what would have been the Iron Curtain. I lived for 13 and a half years in Ukraine where, I mean, you know, places like Poland, Hungary, those places were taken over and taken into the Soviet Empire at the end of World War II. Ukraine joined the Soviet Empire in 1918. So they were in it almost for the entire duration. Most of the people that I know someone that disappeared, never to be seen again, for whatever reason. And so I was thinking about this. I mean, I was steeped in North American ideology. I was steeped in North American propaganda. Trust me, it exists. About the evilness of the Eastern Empire called the Soviet Union. I'm not saying that it wasn't bad, but I talked with some of the people. I says, what was it like? And I'll never forget. I shouldn't say that. There's dementia in my family. I might forget. I hope I'll never forget what one wife told me. She said, no, you know, back in the 1970s when my husband would be driving, he would be driving from Kiev back down to Dnipropetrovsk. Journey of about 8 hours, 9 hours. And of course, all along the way, there are checkpoints. You have to stop, you have to show them your documents, you have to, it's all police run, and it's just, And she says, you know, this was obviously before cell phones. So if my husband was running late, 3, 4, 5 hours late, what's going on? She goes, I could call. And I could say, I'm so-and-so, and this is my husband. Can you tell me where he is? Let me check. He last went through this checkpoint. It was a great relief to her to be able to know that she could find out where her husband was because of this evil empire. We're really, really quick to classify things as evil and paint the whole thing with the same brush when maybe we need to not be so dogmatic. Because It's a system like any other. Good things and bad things. Spiritually, was it a horrible empire? Absolutely. But where on the planet could you travel for about $3 from one end of the country to another, and that country is bigger than Canada? There were positives. There are people there who remember the good old days. All that to say is we need to realize that some of the things that we classify as evil, that we classify as bad, maybe we need to just stop and say, maybe I'm going to reserve judgment because I'm not in a place to judge. Slavery is one of those issues. We're going to talk about that today. Let's start at verse 14. For sin will have no mastery over you because you are not under law, but under grace, as children of the living God, as ones who have accepted the sacrifice he made on that cross. We are removed from under the law. Galatians tells us that the law was given to us to lead us to Christ. And that's where the effectiveness of the law effectively ends. Because Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you. Do you remember what that commandment is? Oh, not quite. That's still Old Testament, Gloria. Close, but no cigar. Love one another as I have loved you. Yeah. How much did he love you? That much. Love one another. Guess what? You love each other that way? You're not going to be concerned about the law because you're going to be living so far past the bounds of the law. We're not under law. We are under God's grace. Fact. This makes a lot of Christian leaders really, really nervous. Because the law at least gives us some control on people's behavior. And when you start saying grace, Terry gets nervous. I'm sorry. When you start saying that we're under grace, people get nervous because I as a church leader lose my ability to control you. I hope so. I don't want to control you. That's God's business, not mine. But it makes a lot of us really nervous because it takes us out of this hard and fast black and white world into a world that is shaded with love, that's shaded with God's grace. And he just says, walk with me. Придите ко мне. Sorry, that's Russian. Come to me. It's about Jesus keeping you company. It's about Jesus walking your day with you. And the simple fact is, he does. The question is, do you realize it? Are you aware of him with you right now? I hope so, because I hope it's his voice that you're listening to. Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Of course not. Of course not. Grace doesn't lead us to sin. Grace leads us to the throne of God where we say, why would I ever want to go back to that? Do you not know, verse 16, that if you present yourselves as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? I don't submit myself to anybody. Oh, really? Either. Notice it says either, not if. Either. It's either or. either of sin resulting in death, or obedience resulting in righteousness. It's that, I mean, if you think you're going your own way, guess who you're listening to? You're listening to the enemy of your soul who wants you tied up in sin and loves your bondage and feeds off of it. Frank Sinatra singing I Did It My Way got him one place. And trust me, it ain't this cool. There's the benefit of not having fans. There we go. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God. Not, I'm thankful that you did. Thanks be to God, Paul says, that though you were slaves to sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to. And having been freed from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. Again, it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of who are you submitting to. It's that simple. Are you submitting to your own whims and your own desires and your own impulses? Or are you submitting to those urges to say, I need to be more like Jesus was? I really want to say this, but is this verbiage characterized by love? I really hope that driver gets what's coming to him. Oh, wait a minute. Is that loving him or her, as the case may be? I'm sorry if I'm getting personal, but I'm picking on me here. We are slaves to whom we submit to, and we all submit to somebody. But thanks be to God, Paul says, to that church, that though you were slaves, you obeyed and became slaves to righteousness, not slaves to sin. And then he goes on, I realize, guys, I'm speaking in human terms, but that's so that you can try to understand it. I'm glad he's speaking in human terms so that I can understand it. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, it's a vicious cycle. It only gets worse. It only gets you in deeper. It's a horrible, horrible spiral that takes you down, down, and down. When we submit ourselves to impurity leading to lawlessness, which leads to more lawlessness, which leads to more lawlessness. So now, just as you once presented your members, so now present your members, that's yourself, that's your body, that's you, mind, will, and emotions, what you think, what you say, what you do, your patterns of life, your choices, how you drive, how you interact with other people, what you choose to watch, what you choose to engage with on social media, etc. All of that is included in present yourselves. Present your members as slaves to righteousness. And folks, let me be really, really clear. This is a message for you. Not for your neighbor. Not for the other person that you wished was really here and listening. It's for you as an individual. It's for me. This isn't about somebody else that you think could really use this. Strap on some humility and say, God, What do you want to say to me? I'll shut up and I'll start listening. When you were slaves to sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. Did you ever stop and think about that? To be a slave to something means you're free from something else. And if we look back into the Roman day and age, where slavery was common, more than half the people in the world were slaves. We're going to get real personal here for a minute. Assume that Jamie is my slave. Ha ha! Guess what? Grace can't tell him what to do. That's because you're her slave. See, Jamie belongs to me, therefore he answers to me, therefore he is free from everybody else. I'm the one he obeys. See, with slavery comes freedom. Isn't that weird? With slavery comes bondage. Because he's got to do what I tell him to. And if he ticks me off, I'll kill him. Or I'll have him killed. That's the nature of slavery in the Roman era. The thing that we miss is they were really, really good masters. We only think of the evils of slavery and the exploitation of slaves, particularly, yes, as happened in the South, in the Deep South. But if you had a good master as a Roman, you were a slave and you had a good master, you could run their entire household. You could be a person of influence. You could be a person of stature. It depended on your master. You could also be a person with a very, very short life or a grueling life, depending on your master. See, that's what we have to get a hold of. Again, it's not a question of if I'm a slave. It's a question of whose slave am I? So the question becomes, what's my master like? Guess what? I submit to sin. That is the worst form of slavery. I am free from every good thing. In other words, it never comes across my path. And I live a life of bondage, of misery, and ultimate eternal death. If, on the other hand, I've accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and I submit myself to his will, he becomes my master. And this is where it's so important that you have an accurate perspective on who God is. See, if you see God as a judge, I don't want that God. God will judge, yes, but that's not his primary characteristic, is it? There's two statements in Scripture about what God is. God is holy, ultimately other. He is absolutely separate. He is untouchable in his glory and his greatness and just his amazingness. And God is love. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is who my master is. And honestly, I love to be his slave. Because he takes care of me. See, it was a master's responsibility to care for their slave. They fed them, they housed them, they clothed them, they gave them responsibilities, they gave them work to do, they protected them, they did everything. Absolutely everything for their slave. Cast all your cares upon me, we're told. Cast all your cares upon the Lord because he wants to care for you, not have warm, fuzzy feelings for you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to do the details. But of course, when we're busy trying to be our own master, we kind of get in the way. We seriously get in the way. What are the benefits? I love Paul's rhetoric. So, you want to be slaves to sin? Okay, let me ask you a question. So what benefits did you then reap from those things that you are now ashamed of? What was the benefit of being a slave to your impulses, to your doing whatever you wanted to, whenever you wanted to, etc., etc., etc.? What benefit did you get from that? For the end of those things is death. What benefit did you get? Because it's going to kill you and it's going to put you into an eternal death. So what benefit did you get? But now, Paul says, freed from sin and enslaved to God, you have your benefit, leading to sanctification. We're going to come back to that word. And the end is eternal life. For the payoff of slavery to sin is death. But the gift of God, well, that's eternal life in the Christ, Jesus our Lord. You want to talk about benefits? Read Psalm 103, Christian's ultimate benefit package. Wow. It's amazing. I love it. I'm not going to read it for you tonight. You can do that for homework. I know some of you don't like homework, but that's beside the point. I'm a teacher. I can give homework. What benefits? Sanctification. What on earth is that word? We've come across some specific theological terms in the book of Romans. We've talked about justification. Now we're going to very briefly, because I'm already waxing eloquent and going on a long time, we're going to talk very briefly about sanctification. Sanctification, okay, you know what? If you're a wife here today, show me your left hand. Let me see the ring on your finger. You got a ring on your finger? Gentlemen, you gave her that. That's what sanctification is. I did a whole weekend seminar for a church in Ukraine on sanctification. The really fun part is the church's name was Nevesta Christa, which means the bride of Christ. Sanctification is all about being engaged. That's the easiest way I've ever been able to come up with understanding sanctification. See, because Scripture talks about sanctification in past tense, in present tense, and in future tense. It simply means to be set aside for God. It means to be purely given over to Him. What do we have in human life and our world today that's similar to that? Engagement! How many of you remember the day you got engaged? Yeah, I do. That was a fun day. There were more fun days to come, though. How many of you remember your engagement period? I do. Missionaries, both sides of the family, meant home assignments, meant Trish and I were engaged for over 2 flipping years. Oh, not fun. Yeah, go figure. Terry said she still married you. See, we got engaged. We were sanctified when Jesus asked, "Will you be mine?" And we said, "Yes." He put the ring on our finger and said, "You're spoken for. You're mine." Not completely yet, though. Through the next however many years the Lord gives us, we are in the process of being sanctified. Were Trish and I as close, and did we know each other as well the day we got engaged as the day we got married 2 years and 2 days later. Literally 2 days and 2 years and 2 days. We got engaged May 17. We ultimately got married May 19, 2 years later. Did we grow in our intimacy and our knowledge? Absolutely. We knew each other a lot better. We had all kinds of weird, wild, and wacky conversations. So tell me, what do you think about this? And we would debate and we would talk. How many kids do you want? And we would talk. What colors do you think the kids should be? And we would talk. And we were in the process of being engaged. That's where we are today, being sanctified. We are growing in our understanding, in our knowledge, in our walk with God. But it hasn't been consummated yet, has it? What are we waiting for in heaven? What does Jesus call it? The marriage supper of the Lamb. What does he call his church? The bride. We will be sanctified. In the meantime, we're still spoken for, which means quit looking across the fence. Quit looking at what you used to enjoy. Quit looking at the sinful patterns and the fun impulses. They only lead to death. But realizing, wrong hand, I've been in Ukraine too long. In Ukraine, we wore our wedding rings on the other hand. Remember that you're spoken for, which should influence and affect every decision you make. It did for Trish and I when we were engaged. Suddenly, I couldn't do whatever I wanted to with my money because we were in process of it becoming our money. See, our engagement affected every part of our life. Waiting for the day when it would be consummated and completed. That's where we are today. We are in that engagement period. You are spoken for. You are a slave to whomever you choose to obey, whether it's sin leading to death or whether it's obedience to God leading to righteousness, a deeper level of understanding of God and me, a deeper understanding of his grace towards me. That's where we find ourselves today. So the real question is, who are you submitting to? I'm going to ask you to remain standing as we close in prayer. But folks, I want to remind you, Jesus is here tonight asking you, will you be mine? Maybe you've never responded to that. You need to, because you never know when your last chance will be. We heard about a man found on his lawn. His chances are gone. We don't know when our last chance will be. Will you be mine? If you have responded to that, will you submit to him, to his love and his grace that he wants to flow into you and then through you? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. There's really nothing else to say. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for opening my eyes to the companionship that you offer, to walk with you and to be governed by your life. not by my desires. Thank you. Lord, I pray for each one here that you would open their eyes to that amazing opportunity of companionship with you. Jesus, thank you for making this all possible. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you that we can be slaves to you leading to righteousness and be free from the power and penalty of sin. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus the Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ be with you all. Amen.